Yet another ominous report on climate change this week. Ocean temperatures are rising 40% faster than a UN panel estimated just 5 years ago. And few research institutions are as dialed into what's happening in our warming oceans as Boston's own New England Aquarium, where 1.4 million visitors go each year. Vicki Spruill is president and CEO of the New England Aquarium, and she joins me now in studio. Vicki, welcome to Radio Boston.
I'm glad to be here.
So you've been in the role for 4 months. You're still newish to this.
Yeah.
Your predecessor was a biologist. You come from a different background, from the nonprofit world. So what's the transition been like for you?
First of all, I have to say Boston has been a wonderfully welcoming city, so don't believe all the things you hear
That's
about.
That's not our reputation.
Yeah, no, it isn't, but that has absolutely not been my experience. Part of what attracted me to this role was to be able to build on this rich history this institution has for science and research, this amazing ability it has to inspire and educate people, and to those 1.4 million visitors a year, but then to really build on that platform around advocacy and conservation. And I think the data you just suggested is the absolute reason why. We have to use the platform and the voice we have to talk about what's really happening in the ocean.
Is that sort of what's on your agenda? I mean, the New England Aquarium is such a familiar institution to so many Bostonians, coming up on 50 years, in fact, next year. So so what is on your agenda, maybe short term and long term?
So I think really enhancing our place in the city and regionally and nationally as a conservation organization. There are very few institutions that can combine research, science, education, and conservation and policy advocacy all under one roof, that are as beloved and as iconic and as trusted a messenger of these issues as we are. So really repositioning us in that light is foremost on my agenda. And again, using our platform and our voice to speak out on so many of these issues. You mentioned climate change, you know, and we are 50 years old, and that means that we've been doing data and research and collecting data in the Gulf of Maine, which is warming 99% faster than other parts of the Atlantic. So essentially, we've been doing climate adaptation research for 50 years. And so we need to use that data to better inform the public about what's actually happening and what we can do about it.
I know that one of the policy points on which the aquarium has taken a stand recently is in opposition to the Trump administration's decision to allow seismic blasting up and down the Atlantic coast to search for lucrative oil and gas deposits, right? And conservationists and researchers, including those at the aquarium, have really taken this as a call to arms because the blasts are so loud that they can injure, deafen, and ultimately threaten the survival of endangered populations like the North Atlantic right whale. There's only 450 of them left. So I'm wondering why the aquarium has taken it upon itself to venture into this advocacy role as opposed to just being sort of a museum for people to go and see species.
I just think that's not enough anymore. I think the public, and we're seeing this in all kinds of visitor data, they expect more. I don't know if this is good news or bad news, but I think the public is more informed about what some of these issues are. These conversations around plastic and even climate change are far more mainstream than, say, they were, you know, certainly even 5 or 10 years ago or so. And so I feel like we have an obligation to take on this more active voice. In fact, last night we hosted to a packed house in our IMAX theater a discussion about stopping offshore oil and gas drilling. And it was a really engaged, wonderful conversation, free to the public. And so, you know, I don't think there are many places that could attract that kind of crowd on a Thursday night.
And you mentioned the plastics. I do want to point out that President Trump in October did sign the Save Our Seas Act, which is at least designed to help keep plastic and trash out of the ocean. So I'm curious whether, is it sort of a case-by-case basis for the aquarium, not being opposed to the Trump administration's agenda wholesale, but just looking at every single piece? Can you partner with him on something like that?
Of course we could. This is not about, this is issue by issue, and we have to look at what are the impacts to the ocean and what are the impacts to the animals that we are working to protect and conserve. And so, you know, there is so much complexity about what's happening in the ocean that this is very much an issue-by-issue situation.
But do you worry at all about the aquarium being viewed as too political, you know, turning off some visitors who say, oh, they're really, you know, getting into a cause one way or the other, they're taking sides. I don't want to be visiting that or patronizing that.
I think that's a balance that any institution has to always consider. And, you know, science itself, you could make that case that we're already doing that by the kinds of science we're pursuing. So I think you have to thread that needle, no doubt. But I have certainly throughout my career sort of, I think, pride myself on having been able to walk that line.
So one other policy point I want to ask you about. A few years ago, the New England Aquarium worked with the previous administration to create the Northeast Canyons and Seamounts National Marine Monument, which is the first of its kind. And like any other national monument where it's protected as a sort of oasis, you know, there is this protection against development and destruction. But now the new administration, the Trump administration, wants to roll back some of those protections. So could you fill in what exactly the monument is, why it's important in your view to conserve it, and what we might lose if the Trump administration is successful?
So this is one of my most favorite things to talk about, and it was actually science from the New England Aquarium that helped do the feasibility study that allowed the Obama administration to designate this particular site. So it's a good example of how our research informs some of these policy decisions that have been made. So think about, this is 130 miles off Cape Cod. Think of the Serengeti of the sea. Think of a national park in the ocean. It's just a magnificent place, teeming with wildlife, all kinds of breaching animals and whales and sharks and turtles and mountains, underwater mountains, higher than in the White Mountains, canyons larger than the Grand Canyon, and it is majestic. So just for the sake of what it is worth protecting. But it's not just good for that and for research. It's also good for, we've got to allow these species the opportunity to do what they do naturally. And there's a lot of science to suggest that spillover effects actually occur when you can protect parts of the ocean from all kinds of extractive activity. So it's good for the fishermen, too. And that's a really important point to make here, certainly in this region.
Well, that's an interesting argument, because there was a legal case, right? You had a federal judge recently toss out a challenge to that designation by groups of fishermen, right, who didn't see it the way you did. So how can you make that case to fishermen's groups and say, you know what, at face value, this may seem like a danger to your business, but we're actually trying to help you in the long run?
Well, the first thing I would caution against is the fishing community is not monolithic. And so there are fishing communities and fishing interests that, who are very, very much aligned and in support of this monument, and they are the overwhelming voice.
Also on the business front, I understand the New England Aquarium has developed a sustainable seafood advisory service, sort of a consulting arm in a way.
Yeah.
You work with seafood restaurants and grocers, so the Gorton's Fishermen in Gloucester. I love those old ads from the 90s, by the way.
Yeah.
Stop and Shop, how to improve the sustainability of your supply chains, basically. Is this really just a sort of a tiny offshoot, or is this a real sort of revenue business stream for the aquarium? Where does it fit into your whole picture?
So it is part of what we call our Anderson Cabot Center for Ocean Life, which is where we organize and consolidate our conservation science and research. And I think what you're going to be seeing over the next couple of years is the emergence of more what we're calling a blue economy portfolio, which includes blue tech, the things we're doing in the shipping industry around noise that you mentioned before, and things like sustainable seafood. Because we have this trusted reputation in this community of working with fishermen to solve problems in the ocean, we have almost embedded ourselves with some of these institutions to help advise them about the procurement and the procurement decisions they're making around varieties of seafood.
I don't want to, you said that fishermen are not a monolith, and I want to be mindful, too, that the people who might typically align with your values, maybe it's environmentalists and conservationists, they're not a monolith either. And
right.
We hear some of them, for example, complain about aquariums and zoos simply for keeping animals in captivity. And we've seen some of those institutions change the way they do things. I'm thinking of the National Aquarium in Baltimore, for example, is changing its dolphin exhibit, for example. How do you sort of address those concerns? How often do you hear them? And is that something that is on your mind as you look to the future of the New England Aquarium?
It's always on any aquarium's mind, and you have to constantly be asking yourself, is the benefit gained from giving this amazing experience to people who would never otherwise see it greater than the risk in keeping some of these animals in captivity? So that is a question that I think we are obligated to ask all the time. I would say that I have never run across a group of people who are more careful and caring of how we treat our animals. There is so much behind the scenes that no one understands about how we really keep these animals. And many of our animals are rescued, and so they are absolutely in a better place.
People love those penguins, Vicki. They
yes,
want to make sure they're being
do.
Well taken
yeah,
care
they,
of.
Yeah, I can vouch for that.
That's Vicki Spruill, the new president and chief executive of the New England Aquarium. Vicki, thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you.
Stay with us. There's more ahead. I'm Callum Borchers. This is Radio Boston.